Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are Third Space and we are turning towards life again this week with a wonderful source brought by Justin and written by Justin, which is a real treat. Thank you, Justin, for being willing to bring things that you write. And if you're new here, you are extremely welcome. We bring all kinds of different sources, poetry, writing, bits from the middle of a book, bits that we found somewhere on the internet or whatever. And then we talk about them and see what emerges between us. So you're very, very welcome here. Maybe you're listening on a podcast or maybe you're here on Facebook. Please feel free to interact with us in whatever way you would like to. You can email us, Lizzie or Justin at turningtowards.life. And in the comments on Facebook as well, you're very welcome to comment and we normally respond and have a little conversation, which is very lovely. So thank you for all the people who have contacted us already and given us feedback on what it's like to be part of this listening, participating community. And we look forward to anybody who wants to reach out and say hello. And Justin, thank you again for this source. And I'm just grateful that this is a space where we can kind of re-receive the things that we've boiled up in ourselves and made. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Izzy. I'll say a little bit more about how this source that I wrote is landing back and receiving it back in my life at the moment when we get into it. and thank you for the way you introduced us. I wanted to add an encouragement to everyone who's with us. You may, of course, only experience Lizzie and I through Turning Towards Life, but we are an expression of a wider collective of people who are up to, I think, some really wonderful and needed things in the world. Third Space. So you're always very welcome to head over to wearethirdspace.org, where you'll find not only Lizzie and I, but some other people and some resources of many kinds, including the kinds of work and offerings that Third Space gets up to in the world. And Lizzie, when we gave birth to this project together, this conversation, one of the things that we were trying to figure out how to do was how to tell people about Third Space. And we decided that instead of telling people about Third Space, we would just get on and do what Third Space does as best we could in the kinds of conversations we have with one another. So there's a very strong sense of it always in Turning Towards Life. But there are some exciting things coming up in the Third Space world, including our year-long professional coaching course, which is an absolute wonder and a joy in so many ways. And that's coming up. We're recording this in April 2023, and that's coming up in the summer in July. So there's a few months before it begins. And maybe if you're listening, you're one of the many people who are interested in the kind of learning about ourselves and one another that coaching presents. And wearethirdspace.org is the place to find out about all of that. So this source, the sources are always on the turningtowards.life website. They're always in the notes on the podcast versions. They're always on our YouTube channel and they're always in our Facebook group. And if you want to get a sneak peek of the sources a few days before, the Facebook group is the place to be. As we tend to post these on a Friday and then have this live conversation on Facebook on a Sunday. And this one, Lizzie, you'll know that for quite some years, I did a lot of writing, been doing a little bit less recently, but published very often. And on the website that I set up for writing, it's been such a gift for me sometimes to go back and find something that an earlier me wrote that is now a gift to the me of now, which is the way I like to think about it. You know, of course, there's a sense in which I wrote this. But actually what I think happened is that somebody else wrote this and that somebody else was me then, who's also me now, but also not. And then it comes down through time and it arrives. And we'll get into talking about this when we talk. But I needed to find this one for a wider set of circumstances that have appeared in my own life. It seemed very useful for me and other people. So I thought I'd bring it to us. And it's called Losing It. This morning after swimming, I overhear a conversation between two men who are sitting by the water. One has lost his sunglasses on an earlier swim and is quite distressed. They were expensive. Armani, he says. I paid a lot of money for them, and they're the third pair I've lost this summer. He's too agitated to be present with his friend, who, after some minutes of listening, says, "You seem really shaken up by this. Too shaken up even to really be interested that I'm here with you. You're saying the same thing over and over again. But," and here he pauses, "tell me something. Did you enjoy having them? Did they bring you pleasure? Because although you've now lost them, for a while, you did have them too. For a while, you did have them. And having them while it lasted was a gift. And at that moment, it occurs to me that this is true for everything, for all of us. We wail and fret about what we lose, and rightly, because our loss is so often a source of suffering for us. But we will all lose our sunglasses eventually, just as we will lose all our possessions, our friendships, our bodies, and everything we know. And because losing is terrible and difficult to bear, we can spend our lives fretting about what's yet to lose and clinging madly to it, or being consumed with longing or remorse for what we've lost. And all the while forgetting that for a time we did have all of this, and missing the wonder that there is anything at all, sunglasses, friendships, work, life, worth having enough that its loss matters to us in the first place.
Losing it. This morning after swimming, I overhear a conversation between two men who are sitting by the water. One has lost his sunglasses on an earlier swim and is quite distressed. They were expensive. Armani, he says. I paid a lot of money for them. And they are the third pair I've lost this summer. He's too agitated to be present with his friend, who, after some minutes of listening, says, "You seem really shaken up by this. Too shaken up even to really be interested that I'm here with you. You're saying the same thing over and over again. But," and here he pauses, "tell me something. Did you enjoy having them? Did they bring you pleasure? Because although you've now lost them, for a while you did have them too. For a while you did have them. And having them while it lasted was a gift. And at that moment, it occurs to me that this is true for everything and for all of us. We wail and fret about what we lose, and rightly, because our loss is so often a source of suffering for us. But we will all lose our sunglasses eventually, just as we will all lose all our possessions, our friendships, our bodies, and everything we know. And because losing is terrible and difficult to bear, we can spend our lives fretting about what's yet to lose and clinging madly to it, or becoming consumed with longing or remorse for what we've lost. And all the while forgetting that for a time we did have all of this, and missing the wonder that there is anything at all. Sunglasses, friendships, work, life, worth having enough that its loss matters to us in the first place."
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm just in this moment enjoying what it's like to have words that I've read a number of times, and I read to myself as I wrote them, read back to me. Thank you. Well, I'm bringing this morning because I'm involved in a community that is having to face the loss of someone who's been very important in the community, who's moving on. And I wanted to have a way to talk with myself and to talk with other people about where it might be possible to stand in the midst of it. And in hearing you read it back, Lizzie, it seems to me very clear that this isn't really about grief. It is about grief in the sense of grief's inevitability and grief's rightness and grief's appropriateness, and also that frankly there's nothing we can do to avoid grief anyway. So why would we? But more about gratitude. And as I've been speaking to people about this loss in the community that I've been involved with, one of the things that's really been striking me has been speaking to each person and looking them in the eye, seeing their face, and whatever they're feeling about it, maybe great sadness or worry, or maybe they're just fine, it doesn't really matter. And it's brought me into a really deep appreciation of how miraculous it is to be with each of those people, as we're all experiencing the feeling of the inevitability of change. And it's really quite something, I'm finding it really quite something, to feel how unlikely it is, as we're having all these conversations, that any of this is happening at all. That there are people, and that we have language, and that we can even talk together about what it's like to feel the loss of something and someone that we may not want to feel the loss of, and our sense of trying to stop change from happening, even as it's happening, and as it's, you know, that really ordinary feeling of, I wish things would remain the same. I'm finding that this orientation is letting me be with all of that and not in any way try to deny it, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to minimize what it's really like to be in the midst of the bigness of life. And then there's another deeper something in me that is feeling an enormous amount of awe and wonder that we humans can encounter the possibility of loss and losing and be on the other side of our losses with whatever it is and be present to it, that it doesn't have to involve us disappearing or running or checking out or desperately holding on in order for the deeper miracle of life with all of its light and shade and loss and laughter and tears and pain. And so somehow in me at the moment, encountering a big change that I've got some responsibility to respond to is awakening me to the something that's underneath all the change that's happening all the time. And that's really helping me not treat keeping life the same or avoiding loss as if that were the only way to be alive that would make sense. That's the thing that sort of feels like it's bubbling up in me.
Oh gosh, it's so big, isn't it? I'm in one of those positions in the inside, Justin, where I've got a thought that's really hard to say. In response to what you've just said. And it's something like, and this might be an occasion where you have to really try and understand me and then say it back or something. So what was coming up for me is just the way that us humans get attached to things and how in the dynamic of attachment, and this, which kind of manifests as not wanting things to change. You know, we want, I can feel all the parts of me that are like, I want things to stay the way that they are unless I want them to change, you know. So in that dynamic of attachment, this loss thing is really scary. But what if I never got attached in the first place? Like, who would that make me? So, you know, your part of your writing is like fretting about what we lose. Like, if I just fretted about what I was going to lose all the time, maybe I wouldn't even get attached to anything. Like, if loss was too unbearable to me, which it is too unbearable to me, but if it was too unbearable, I wouldn't even get attached in the first place to anything. So what I'm feeling into is this kind of vein of gratitude that you're talking about. Maybe that's part of what allows me to get attached in the first place, and to actually be a participant in life in a way that is life-giving and life-making and enlivening. Because I can also find the part of me that goes, oh, no, no, that's too much. If that went wrong, I would just be done for. So I can't even get involved in the first place. I'm just going to let that one pass because I can't deal with the loss of that if it ever came to pass, because I could see how attached I could get. I could see how deep I could get in. And I'm feeling very curious about the kind of the antidote that gratitude might be to me avoiding getting involved in the first place, because it would be too unbearable to lose the thing that I'm wondering about getting into. And that maybe there's something in what you're saying that both enables me to cope with the loss at the time and handle the grief in a way that gratitude is also present, as well as the multitude of things that happen inside a grief-filled heart. But also, like going back in time a little bit, maybe it's also the thing that helps me throw myself in wholeheartedly in the first place. Because what else is there to do other than that? And I have no idea if that makes any sense or not. It's like kind of I'm treading it together.
I'll try it back then.
Yeah.
At least my understanding. I think I want to come at what you're saying sort of a little bit maybe from the side. It may not be exactly the way you said it, but it struck me that almost anything, we can take almost anything as a way of trying to avoid life as it is. So one thing we can do is we can be so caught up as, it was such a beautiful exchange between these two men. I didn't make this up. Of course, I sat there listening to them. It was so tender because the one who was wailing and upset, he really was wailing and upset about his sunglasses, and his friend wanted to remind him that there's something else that was also true. Not that he shouldn't be sad, but that there was another side to it. There was yet more to be discovered about this situation, and the discovery or the remembering was the joy at having had them in the first place. And I can see how anything we could live a life where we were so attached to everything, and I've certainly done this. I remember in my 20s, both my mum and dad, as you know, Lizzie is still alive, but remembering my 20s, counting how many years I'd had with them and how many years I would have with them. And I could feel how my counting was a way of trying to shore off the loss. At least if I count, I'll have some kind of measure of control. You know, of course, I didn't know how many years, and I still don't. None of us do. And so there's a way we can get of trying to avoid the feelings of loss because we love so much and because we care so much, and we can sort of take ourselves out of it. And gratitude can be actually be one way of taking ourselves out of that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Or just be grateful. Be grateful for everything. But there's the other way, which is me lying awake at night counting. If I count more, you know, and not being able to, so which is in a way being very in contact with the loss, but not being able to be in contact with what was here. It was really getting in the way of my being in contact with what was here. So either of those can be a way of sort of avoiding life. And then there's this, the thing that I heard in what you were saying is this sort of even, there's another move that we can could get into, which is, well, maybe if I just don't get attached to anything, maybe if I transcend the world of attachment, I'll be non-attached, and then I'll be free. But that actually is just another kind of avoidance, and it's another kind of attachment. Mm-hmm. We can even get attached to the idea of not being attached in order to save us. So I think there's something in here, watching this man wailing, you know, as he came out of the water, the pond, for me, and in what you're saying about what it is to live right in the in-between of gratitude and grief, to not to not let any either pole be the only one that informs us, because that the world is way deeper and way stranger than that. And can we, as I look at just looking at you now and knowing that I'll lose you, and can I be here in this friendship and in this conversation and really let myself feel the tenderness of that, which is very tender. But also be here in joy at the very thing that is, that the tenderness is an expression of the remarkableness of being here and being in this conversation with you. And I think I want to be in one inside the other all the time. I want to be in grief inside gratitude and gratitude inside grief all at once. And if maybe I can hold both inside one, or let both live inside one another, then when grief comes and it's the one that balloons out into its biggest form and that's really called for, it's in relationship with gratitude. It's great. Well, it's not to the exclusion of gratitude. And when gratitude comes, it's in relationship with the grief that is or will be. That way, it seems, is the alive way to be in a relationship with this, rather than trying to find a get out clause from any of these difficulties.
I just remembered something that I listened to on a podcast the other day, and I'm going to be terrible because I can't remember the names and everything. But anyway, it was a, I think it was on The Late Show. This podcast was talking about The Late Show when Stephen Colbert was the presenter, and he had an actor on whose name I've forgotten, but I think it's like Andrew something. And this actor's mother had recently died. And Stephen Colbert said, I know you've suffered your own grief recently or something. And the actor started crying. And there was obviously some kind of whoops kind of look on Stephen Colbert's face or something, because it was just the audio that I heard. And he said, no, it's really okay that I'm crying. He said, the grief I feel for my mother is something that's really important for me to feel, because when I feel it, what I'm feeling is all the ways that I loved her, and also all the ways that I didn't get to love her at the same time. And that's what my grief is made of. So when I cry, I can feel how good it is for me, basically, how wonderful an experience it is to feel that feeling, because it's got so much love inside of it. And I feel like that's such an unusual, for me anyway, such an unusual response to have those things, like you're saying, sat inside one another, that the pain can also be acknowledged as love simultaneously at the same time, and the loss can be experienced as gratitude simultaneously. And I feel like this is one of the, we've invented this word, which I don't even know exists, called multitudinousness. I think this is part of the multitudinousness that is our inherent possibility as humans. And this is what I'm receiving from you in this moment, Justin, is this kind of curious and also on the edge of my capability invitation to, when I'm in an experience, to see what kind of other aspects of experiencing I might be able to welcome in at the same time. Because that is possible. I can feel it in that actor's statement of love and pain at the same time. It feels right to me. You know what I mean? It feels like, oh, that's got possibility in it, that's kind of untold and gift filled. If I can allow multiple things to be present at once, that it, like in inherent in allowing multiplicity of self, of me, it shows that much more is possible than just getting stuck or consumed by or killed by whatever the feeling is or the experience that I'm having. That I can feel something fully, but I can also invite my multiplicitousness in at the same time, so that there's possibility in it somehow.
Yeah, I'm so touched by that way of talking about it, Lizzie, which is, of course, a theme that we have circled around to many, many, many times. I remember years and years ago when I started doing, for the first time as my work, doing the kinds of things that we do now, but I was a real beginner in it, and I was running a little workshop on. Such a funny idea, really, in retrospect. It was a 90-minute workshop about really big existential questions, and it had been designed by the company who designed it, which wasn't me, to take into organizations at moments of great change, which was a very generous idea. But it had in it a claim, which I remember thinking at the time, that's not right. I can't say that. And what the claim was that you can't feel two things at once. That just seemed so completely wrong to me. It's like, well, I certainly feel more than one thing at once. How am I going to say this? Is there something wrong with me? And then I thought about it, thought, no, but that is, we talked been talking about this so much that the story, the very simplistic story of us in our in a world which has, in a way, the sort of the predominant narratives of the world have robbed us of the possibility of sort of the enchantment of being a person, the depth, thinking about how little about depth I ever got taught at school. Like nobody ever talked to nobody ever, where the kind of education I had and the kind of work that I did for a long time, we never had an opportunity to be in conversation about our depths. And that we are, it's such a relief to have this language of multitudinousness, which I think is great, even if it's kind of made up word, that we can at once be the one experiencing deep grief, and simultaneously there can be something in us that is very joyful, and also there can be something in us which is rageful, and at the same time there can be something in us which is in a sense of awe and wonder at our existence, and that beyond and beneath and through all of those different multitudinous parts of us is something with untold depth that is not even any of those things. It's, and we've, I think we've had that story, is not very present in the world right now, and it could really do with being very present in the world, because I think it would also help us with lots of other things that are difficult, that are calling for our attention. And here it is, right here, in losing your sunglasses, or losing a person, or losing a relationship, or losing some work, or losing any of the kinds of losses. I think we've kind of reached just about the point where it's time to close, Lizzie. Sometimes our conversations are, they bust past the bounds of the time that we set, and they go on and on, and sometimes they land somewhere. And I wonder if it seems true for you that this one has landed right in a really important spot, but maybe there's something else to say.
Well, I'm just feeling the invitation of it, Justin, and the kind of, like so many times we come out of the Sunday times together, and I take forward an experiment, and my experiment for today is this cultivation of more than what I think I'm limited to now in my experience of something. So when I'm moving through my day today, where I'm sure there will be things that are annoying, things that are beautiful, things that are frustrating, things that are logistically challenging, all of the things, I feel like I'm really, really invited into this experiment of wondering what else is present at the same time as when I feel narrow, or I feel pinched, or I feel small, that I can actually notice more. I think that's the thing that's really opening for me, is that I know about noticing. I know that if I sit and talk to you and we actually look at something clearly and quietly and slowly, I will see more because we're looking at it more than I saw before, even though I was with it, because it was my experience for maybe weeks before, months before, years before. So I know it's possible. And I feel really drawn to experimenting that with that in like a very everyday way. Like, what else is here other than the thing I'm experiencing? And can I welcome that at the same time without pushing the thing away that I'm, or denying or being positive or something about the thing that I'm experiencing now? Can I also cultivate, bring in, invite more of my experience in, because there's more going on than the thing that I've narrowed myself into? So yes, I think that's the kind of the landing point for me in the kind of culmination of this little conversation.
What beautiful experiment, beautiful practice. I'm going to take that into my day too.
Yeah.
Which is a day with many conversations to be had and adult children moving away back to their university homes. There's loss in there. And so I'll carry all this and as I go, I'm so enjoying watching you being handed lovely drinks.
Refreshments.
Well, thank you, Lizzie, as always, for being in the depth of this conversation. It's a real marvel to me. That five, but also not a surprise. It's like both at once a marvel and simultaneously not a surprise. That 5.5 years into this conversation, it still feels alive and real, and that it keeps on revealing itself and revealing its depths, which is, I guess, why we carry on doing it. But I'm also feeling the marvel of being accompanied also by so many people. So this is a declaration of gratitude to all of you who are with us for being with us, in whether you're here just for today or whether you've listened to many and you come along every week. And a reminder that you're so welcome to share this with other people who you know. Send them a link to the podcast or to a video or something, or just tell them about it. And if you think it would be of value, we'd get so much joy out of knowing that it was being shared in a way that was useful to people.
Mm.
And all being well, as we say every week, and so far generally it has all been well, we will be back here at the same time, 9 a.m. live on Facebook UK time, and then on all the podcasts and YouTube and all those places afterwards on Sunday. And we'll really look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks, everybody.